In the 14th chapter of the book of John, Jesus has something to say about heaven, about where it is, and about how we get there. If you come to Mary Ellen Morris's funeral tomorrow, you'll hear John 14 again. If you come to any funeral that I do, you'll hear me read John 14. Hear these words from our Savior today. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way." You don't need a map. You don't need a compass. You know the way. You know to the place where I am going. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Lord, give us the map and give us the compass, and we'll know how to get to that place that you promised for us." And Jesus said, "Thomas, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if you know me, you will also know the Father. To know me is to know heaven." You know, I heard this story once of this guy named Father Murphy. You know, Father Murphy, he was one of the Irish priests, and he'd walk around into the pubs of his little Irish community, and he would walk in and he would say to everyone that he meet, "Hey, do you want to go to heaven?" And the first man would walk up to him and say, "Yes, Father, I want to go to heaven." And the priest would say, "Well, then go over there and stand against the wall." And he came up to a second man in this pub and he says, "Do you want to get to heaven?" And he said, "Certainly, Father." So he said, "You go stand over there against the wall." Then he came up to old Peter O'Toole. He said, "Peter, you want to get to heaven?" He said, "No, Father, I don't." The priest says, "I don't believe this. You mean to tell me that when you die, you don't want to go to heaven?" Old Peter O'Toole said, "Oh, yes, when I die, I do. I just thought you were getting together a group to go right now." And you see, that joke hits the nail pretty much on the head, doesn't it? I mean, heaven, we all want to get there. We just don't want to go right now. We all want to get there. Everyone wants to go to heaven. It's just nobody wants to die. Right? Isn't that the tension of heaven when we talk about it? We all want to get there. We just don't want to die if that's what it takes to get there. So what if I'm here today to tell you something that maybe we've missed about what Jesus has to say about heaven? What if this morning I could tell you that they don't have to die to experience the heaven that Jesus is talking about? I mean, if that's true, I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty interested in finding out more about that. That what if this heaven that Jesus came and talked about, and frankly, he talked about it a lot. He called it the kingdom. And he called it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about that more than he talked about anything else. What if I came here today to tell you this morning that perhaps this whole idea of heaven that Jesus came to tell us about had as much to do with life before death as it did with life after death? Isn't that something you would be interested in hearing something about? I mean, in fact, it's Jesus. It's the first thing he says in his public ministry. You can't miss it. In three of the four Gospels, Jesus gets baptized. He goes into the desert. He wrestles with this call that God has placed on his life. And then he emerges and he has a message. And it's the same in all three Gospels. The very first words out of Jesus' mouth in his public ministry have to do with heaven. And he says, "People, believe that the kingdom of heaven has come near." And some of them say it's at hand, that the kingdom of heaven is close, that it's closer than you may think it is, that it's right here, sometimes maybe as close as your hand. And it's so interesting to think about, if that's the central message of Jesus, if that's the first thing he said to us, is, friends, believe that the kingdom of God is closer than you think it is. About what it means to have a lifetime of religious training, it's the lifetime of religious training that I had from Sunday school on up, that heaven was something we had to wait for. That heaven was the goal of faith. And here's Jesus, the first thing out of his mouth is that the kingdom of God is at hand. That it's come near, that it's come close. How interesting it is when you begin to wrestle with what Jesus might be saying about that. I mean, because every joke we tell about heaven, and Google heaven jokes once, there's lots of them, right? We've been telling heaven jokes for a long time, right? You know the jokes about the pearly gates and St. Peter sitting there and somebody is on their way there and St. Peter meets them and they have some sort of conversation. They usually got to broker some sort of deal in order to get in. All of our jokes ultimately tell us something very true about what we believe. All our heaven jokes tell us that we believe heaven is somewhere else, right? And that it's only there when this life is over. And those jokes tell us that this might be kind of tricky to actually get in. Don't believe me. Hear this story, right? It says, after a long illness, a woman died and arrived at the gates of heaven. While she was waiting for St. Peter to greet her, she peeked through the gates and saw that it was so beautiful. St. Peter came by and the woman said to him, "This is such a wonderful place. How do I get in here?" Peter said, "It's simple. You just have to spell a word." Which word? Love. The woman correctly spelled it, L-O-V-E, and St. Peter welcomed her into heaven. About 6 months later, St. Peter came to the woman and asked her to watch the gates of heaven on that day. He had a golf tea time, and so he was up there golfing, and so he asked this woman if it would be okay if she watched the gate for a few hours. It was interesting, because while she was guarding the gates of heaven, her husband arrived. "I'm surprised to see you," said the woman. "How have you been?" "Oh, I've been doing pretty good since you died," he said. "I married that beautiful young nurse who took care of you while you were ill. And I won the lottery. And I sold the little house that I lived in and bought a great big mansion. And my wife and I traveled all around the world. In fact, we were on vacation and I went water skiing and I fell and the ski hit me in the head and here I am. So how do I get into heaven?" "You have to spell a word," the woman said. "Which word?" the husband asked. "Czechoslovakia," she said. Right? I mean, all of our jokes tell us something about what we fundamentally believe in our heart, but are often afraid to say about heaven. That it's somewhere else, that somebody's guarding the gate, and it's some sort of trick in order to get into it. And here comes Jesus right out of the gate, and he says to everybody, "Look, what you've been waiting for is closer than you've ever thought that it is. Heaven." Let's unpack heaven for a minute. Heaven, the Greek word is ouranos. In the Greek, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, they use the word ouranos in the Greek. And that word is so important, for that word means dwelling. It's the dwelling place of God. Heaven, then, is simply the place where God lives, where God resides, where the fullness of God is present. It's where God hangs his hat. It's God's house, God's place of dwelling. Heaven is that place where God lives. Think about it for a minute. What would it look like? What would a place look like if it was full of God? If it was where the fullness of God came to dwell, what would it look like if God lived here? Scripture gives us a few images of what that might look like, right? Isaiah said, when the fullness of God comes, the lion and the lamb will sit down together at the same table. If Isaiah was writing today, he'd say, in the kingdom of God, the Spartans and the Wolverines will be friends, right? It's this place where enemies are reconciled. He said, when the fullness of God comes, people will take their swords and they'll make them into plowshares, and there'll be no more war. There'll be no more hatred, no more anxiety about the future, no more racism or sexism or homophobia, those things that tear people apart. He says, there'll be no more tears in heaven. So again, think about what Jesus says when that reality, he says, that the scripture has pointed to, this place that we can sense of what it would feel like if God was fully present in that moment. And Jesus says, you know what? You don't have to wait for it. The kingdom of God is at hand. You see, Jesus was walking through this world, and he, just like us, he saw all these people who were waiting. Who were waiting for this future time, this pressed upon time where it was said that God was going to come in his fullness. And they were waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And here comes Jesus and he says, you are missing it. He says, this kingdom of heaven to which I am promising you, it is right here in front of you and you are missing it. Don't you see every one of Jesus' stories that he tells, every one of those parables where he talks about the kingdom of God being present, what does he talk about? He talks about things that are happening right there in front of people's face. He says, you want to know what the kingdom of God is like? He says, it's like a fisherman who goes out to fish, and it's on a day when he gets more fish than he's ever gotten before. It's the day when you put the line in, and every time you put it in, you get a catch. He says, the net was so full that it almost breaks. Dennis, have you ever had a day fishing like that? Where you put that line out there, and every time you put it out there, it something bit. Felt like heaven, didn't it? You didn't want to leave the lake. Jesus says, heaven's like that. Jesus says, heaven's like that woman in her kitchen who's making fresh bread. And the smell and the aroma just fills the whole kitchen. It wafts out the window into the neighborhood. And everybody can smell it. You've had a moment like that in your kitchen, haven't you? When it was just, pardon, you never have? All right, I'll get to your garden here. The garden's coming. The garden's coming. But in that kitchen, he says, it's like that. So this is like a gardener who goes out and plants these seeds and then waits. And all of a sudden, this beauty just pops up out of nowhere. He says, heaven is like that waiting and that anticipating for that seed to that time that it blooms into all of its fullness. One of my favorite things, Jesus says, you want to know what heaven is like? He says, heaven's like a party. Heaven's like a party. It's like a potluck, he says. Right? Everybody brings a dish to pass. There's enough food for everybody. And guess what? This party has no guest list. Because everybody's invited. Even the people who never get invited. In fact, they're the people who get invited first. Jesus is heaven. It's like that. God dwells in moments like that. When the fullness of God is so present that you could almost reach out and touch it. And I know that you've had moments like that. I know you have. Because I know I have. These moments when life is just full and it is ripe and it just feels like the planets have aligned up one after the other, and it just feels right. You've had moments like that. First time I held those babies, time just stopped. The fullness of God is on display. I mean, we're watching Jaden right over here. I mean, this is heaven. I'm watching Jean watch him. She's in heaven this morning watching that baby. That's the fullness of God. The other day in my car, did you catch the sunset a few days ago? Even here in Detroit with all of our urban sprawl and concrete and decay and ugliness that can sometimes be the city there in the background was this sunset. And it was beautiful. And the radio was playing that song, my song. I don't even remember what song it is now. But right then, I was singing it in the sun. And I could have drove for hours if gas didn't cost $5. But it was like heaven. A couple of Wednesdays ago, we call it community meal. Jesus calls it heaven. I looked and the place was full and friendships were happening and people we've never seen before were there at the table. People who never get invited to a church meal were invited, and there was always enough food to go around, and heaven descended, even if it was just for a moment. Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. It's closer than you think it is. And we all know that when we get moments like that, because life isn't always full of those moments. But when you get moments like that, you'll do anything you can in order to get more of those. To line life up like it should be. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven has come close, and it's something you can reach out and touch. And Jesus is saying, don't spend your whole life missing heaven because you're waiting for some heaven to happen later. The fullness of God dwells in some of life's most simple and beautiful and precious moments. Every one of Jesus' parables was told in order to point those moments out to us. Don't miss them, he said. You know, and there's no secret about how to live into this heaven reality. All of our jokes make it seem like there's some sort of trick or some sort of secret, which ultimately means that we probably ultimately believe that it's not available to us, that we have to somehow trick God into letting us get in. Another time, Jesus said, you're looking for this heaven? Let me tell you how you find it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that you want in this life will be added on to you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else will be added on to you. Seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek the things that are of God. Seek love. Seek grace. Seek forgiveness, seek charity, reconciliation, inclusion, and justice. Seek these things, and before you know it, you will be living in the presence of God. The more you seek the things of God, the more God will be present to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It simply means seek by doing the right thing, his righteousness. Doing what is right, doing what is right by God, ushers in the very kingdom of God. And what is right? Do the right things, even if it's not easy. When we tell the truth, we find ourselves living in God's kingdom. When we make amends, we find ourselves living in God's kingdom. When we stand up for the weak, we find ourselves living in God's kingdom. There's this epidemic, if you're reading the newspaper, about bullying, right? All these kids getting bullied in school. And I just pray that one of the kids from our youth group will be in the presence of these kids who are being bullied, because I know that one of our kids will stand up for them. Because we've created a bully-free zone here. You know, Bridget will tell you are not allowed to say anything bad about any of the kids in youth group. You know, you can't pick on anybody or rip on anybody or say, oh, that's a goofy looking hat you're wearing today. If you do that in our youth group, everything stops and you have to take a minute and that person has to say 3 nice things about that person and they have to mean it. It's really fun when brothers end up having to do that for each other in youth group, right? It's always nice when you say, all right, Brandon, say 3 nice things about Jeffrey right now, right? And why do we do that? Because it ushers in the kingdom of heaven, because we're trying to create a culture where young people learn to do the right thing. Because doing the right thing ushers us into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says that kingdom is available if you seek it and do the right thing. And it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. You can begin to live into that heaven reality right here, right now. Jesus says, don't wait for it. There's no secret to get in. Seek the kingdom of God and do his righteousness, and you will find yourself living more and more into the fullness, into the dwelling place of God. It's what heaven feels like. I read John 14, though, at the beginning, because my faith tells me something else about heaven. On the one hand, it's the hand I think we miss, that the fullness of heaven is something we can live into right here and right now, and we shouldn't spend our whole life missing it. But John 14 tells us the ultimate hope of our faith is that while it is something that we experience on this side of death, that the fullness of God in all his dwelling is something that is promised to us in the moment of our death as well. Listen to those words of John 14 again. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going there. And where I'm going, I'm going to come get you. And I'm going to bring you back to that place. That's the promise of our faith. That's the hope of our faith. And it's a hope I'm going to take to my grave. And it's a hope and a promise I want to make sure that you know is available to you. For years, I sat at the feet of Dr. Bill Ritter, who's a pastor at Newburgh and Narden Park and Birmingham First. He's my mentor and a lot of times my hero in the faith in terms of pastors. When I don't know what to do, he's usually my first call. I sat at his feet for years and listened to him do funerals. And Bill always said this after talking about John 14. He says, if you're talking about heaven and all you mean is endless existence, just going on and on and on, he says, I'm really not all that interested in that. But when you talk about heaven, if what you mean is blessed reunion, that in those many rooms are the people who've gone ahead of me, that I'll get to see those people who have gone ahead of me, boy, sign me up for that. I think Bill's right, because I think Jesus is right. And the fullness of this heaven that we taste here is just a foretaste of what it's going to mean to live into that fullness when we dwell with God for all eternity. It's our hope. It's Jesus' promise. And it's what we sang in our song today. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. We can live into that rejoicing now. And there's the promise of the fulfillment of it in the life to come. We will see those who have gone before us, because if we don't, then it wouldn't be heaven. It wouldn't be heaven. I don't know who you're waiting to see, but I promise you they're there. They're there because Jesus promised that they were there. And so far in my life, Jesus has made good on every one of his promises. In this life, if he's making good on all of them in this life, he's going to make good on the promises in the life to come. It's like this. When I was a kid, about 5 years old, I got a five-year-old right now, and he's doing what I was doing when I was 5 years old. It's that age when you insist on every morning dressing yourself. Nope, I can do it. I can handle it, right? So you threw your shirt on, and I'd always begin to do the buttons right in the middle, right? And I'd come out for breakfast, and what would happen? My collar was always in my ear, right? somehow along the line, I missed the buttons. And what would my mom always say to me? She says, Jeff, if you get it right at the bottom, it'll always come out right at the top. Get it right at the bottom, and it'll always come out right at the top. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get it right at the bottom, and everything else that you're waiting for will be added on to you too. The more we live into heaven here, the more we will be prepared when the moment comes to experience it in all of its fullness. Get it right at the bottom, and you'll get it right at the top. No map and compass will help us. Jesus says the kingdom of God is already here. Amen.